Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back as we are live here on the second edition of the Reggie and Ron Radiothon. And we appreciate everybody who has joined us. I do want to get this out as we continue to move into the 2 o'clock hour.
That Egypt is up 1-0. Is that what you wanted to get out?
No, and nor am I looking at Landon Donovan's hair either. God, man, just the best he can.
You know what
the best he can do.
You know what I never get though? If you're gonna cheat and go get like the, you know, get the hair, why can they never do the hairline? Like hairline is always still far back when they go and get the hair transplants or the plugs or whatever. And I'm like, if I'm gonna pay for plugs, I'm gonna pay for them down to damn near my I want to look like I'm 13 with the hairline that's crazy.
His looks like a bit of a rug. I'm not sure. It doesn't look like it's the best that it can be, but. Regardless of that, Egypt is up 1-0. He knows it too. But what I was saying is the best thing you can do is can continue to help us as we try to help out the Houston Food Bank. You can text Radiothon 26. That is RADIOTHON 26. One word to 71777. And you can donate there easily. As so many have done throughout the day. You can also, if you go to Sports Radio 610 and look at our auction page, you can go to our auction page and there are almost 30 different items that you can bid on, including 5 different dinners with us, members of Sports Radio 610 of all the shows, and also an additional dinner with Figgy, who we were just on with, and Brandon Scott. All of those you can bid on, and so many other items, including a Magic Johnson and Larry Bird autograph basketball that you can bid and get, a J.J. Watt, a Battle Red helmet, a Johnny Manziel helmet, so many different items that you can bid on to help also with the Houston Food Bank. And we are so happy at this time. We've had a lot of fun. We've talked to a lot of different people, but Brian Green joins us, CEO of the Houston Food Bank. Been the CEO there for 20 years, and we are so happy to be partnered with you guys to try to do what we can and what our listeners can do, and we very much appreciate all the help you guys have given us. And hopefully we are doing something to be able to help you guys with this. But kind of let the people know the mission statement, what it is that you guys look to do every day.
Well, Reggie and Ron, I'm so happy to be here and appreciate y'all doing this. It is the auction item webpage, that is just loaded with cool stuff.
What sport
you're interested in, you've got some cool stuff there, autographs and all kinds of stuff. The Lionel Messi jersey.
Yes.
Be topical on that one. That one's going for some people are getting excited about that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So anyway, so I was happy to do this. But, you know, the whole purpose is, you know, we provide food for families who are struggling with food insecurity. And just the nature of the food industry is there's a huge amount of food waste in the United States. They say over 30% of all food that is produced never hits a stomach. And so as food banks, we kind of developed to go try and capture as much of that as we can and distribute all the stuff that is perfectly good, nothing wrong with it, through a network of charities. And so Houston Food Bank does that to the tune of about 14 tractor trailer loads of food per day.
Wow.
Through a network of 1,600 partners in 18 counties around Houston. And that's how we're able to take, for every dollar we receive, we can do 3 meals because we're overwhelmingly, we don't buy the food. This is like biggest sources from the farms. We do about 7 tractor trailer loads a day coming from farms. It's their what they call ugly produce. You know, the carrots are bent, the onions are too small, whatever.
But they're perfectly fine, right?
And they're just as fresh as what you would see at HEB or Kroger. But HEB or Kroger won't sell them because they don't look retail beautiful.
Yeah.
So we do, we go to the farmers and we say, look, if we'll pay your cost to pick and bag that if you'll donate it. And then we bring it in. And it's just amazing how much we can do. And it's also then making sure that we're getting the most nutritious food possible for families who are struggling.
That's awesome. I've always been fascinated by that efficiency that's there. So it scratches an itch in my brain to know that. But that then brings me to the idea of like the actual work of doing that is not easy as well. I imagine that the volunteers and the network of volunteers that then end up helping the food bank is a large part of that as well, is it not?
Well, you should have my job because, yeah, that's exactly where I would go with this, because the other component that makes this possible is the volunteers. Most of the actual physical labor is done by volunteers. So when we're pulling in these donations, so many of them, okay, it's great, but yeah, we've got to do something. We've got to relabel it. We've got to repackage it. We've got to sort the good from the bad. And so we just bring in these massive numbers of volunteers, 7 days a week, evening shifts, day shifts, you name it. We do it all to try and process all of this food to get it ready out in the community, including we do unitized hot meals for after-school programs this way. And this year we have a goal to get to 100,000 volunteers. Mm. And the more volunteers we get, the more of these opportunities of food that we can say yes to. So, you know, listeners, be getting on that webpage, making those donations, but also signing up to volunteer. You just go to our website, HoustonFoodBank.org, and you can sign up for a shift. We'll train you, and between door training and actually productively working, we shoot for 30 minutes. You're productively working to help people in your community.
Brian, how many people would you say in this city? You talked about the 18 counties. How many people would you say in this city really depend on what it is that you guys provide?
Yeah. So looking at the Census Bureau figures, in our 18 counties served by the food bank is about 1.3 million people are food insecure. Now, food insecure doesn't mean you're necessarily going hungry, but if you're either having to make nutritional compromises or you're having to get some assistance to get by, like going to a church, et cetera. We serve about 1 million people overall. At least at some point during the year. People may come several times during the year, or they may just come once, but about 1 million people a year.
That's one of the things that I was having a conversation about recently, is that we don't think about food insecurity in the ways that you should. It's always like those who are absolutely destitute, and it's not quite always that, is it? Like, obviously, I think that especially for those of us that are fairly privileged to not have to consider, am I going to have a meal at certain times? We go, okay, well, the food bank serves the people who just don't have any food. But I imagine there's a lot more of your everyday person that you would see on the street that taps into what the food bank does, correct?
Well, that's a really good point, because if food insecurity really isn't about food, it's about income. Mm. And when I started in food banking 37 years ago, overwhelmingly we served people who were unemployed. Now mostly we're serving working families. Where they're just not making enough money, because just the way the wage structure has evolved over the past few decades in the United States, low wage employment has become a bigger and bigger problem. These part-time jobs, no benefit jobs that are paying not much above minimum wage are just like, it's making it so hard for these families to get by. So they're trapped. It's like, how do I pay my utility bill? How do I pay the rent and still be able to provide good food on the table? So mostly what they'll do then is say, you know what, I'm just going to have to go for those cheaper calories that are not nearly as healthy, but we'll be able to get by. And so that's those families that we're trying to target, it is making so they don't have to make those compromises with their kids.
That is good to hear, and good insight to hear, because I think a lot of people just have the thought process of, all right, these are people who are really – you know, struggling in need or near homeless or anything, but it is, you know, maybe regular families that just need the extra help, or the extra help that now kind of money has gotten tight in ways that they go and get help from the food bank.
Yeah, the perception people usually have is it's the homeless person on the corner. And overwhelmingly, that's not who it is. Yeah. It's like it's the person in the apartment next to you or the house down the street that you would never know. Because, you know, yeah, you know, they had a good job, that job ended, now they're getting by in a job that's not quite making it, but they still got to keep their rent payment up or their mortgage payment, or maybe they've got that car payment. And it's just like the math is just not mathing. And those people, you wouldn't know if you weren't talking to them.
It feels a little self-serving because we are the people in this moment that are kind of organizing our listenership to this. But how important are opportunities and situations like what we're doing today? We're bringing, you know, attention to this and focusing like a drive or a radiothon towards what you guys do. Like, how important is that to what you guys do on a yearly basis?
So all the things we do, I mean, the two biggest parts that make it work is the volunteers. And then just there's so much food waste that we can capture from the food industry. But then that still, it's all the trucks. We run about 60 trucks a day. Our fuel bill alone right now is over $3,500 a day.
I hadn't even thought about the fuel of it.
And that's, you know, running the trucks basically six days a week on the trucks. And all those things that you associate with a pretty good sized business, because we distributed last year almost $300 million worth of food. So we're able to do it for a lot less than that, you know, three meals for a dollar, but it's still, how do you come up with the money? And overwhelming, it's philanthropy. And it's like, okay, what are the creative ways that inspire people, you know, to give? And that's where, like, you know, we get this great attention. But also people, you know, it's fun to go on your website and look at all this stuff and, you know, get inspired and, you know, bid on something or just say, you know what, I may not want one of those things, but, you know, I'm going to make a contribution because my friends on the radio, Reggie and Ron, you know, they're saying this is a good thing and it makes sense to me. And that's how we were able to make it all work.
All right. Reggie and Ron, our second annual Reggie and Ron Radiothon. And remember, as we are still rolling through, we are going until 6 o'clock. You can still donate. Text Radiothon 26 to 71777. As I see our guy, old Joe Robichaud, just checked in as he donated. You can continue to donate throughout. And
I feel like I was supposed to say that, you know, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Well, that's your fault. That's all right.
It is. I'll accept that.
That's all right.
I will accept that.
But we're talking with the CEO over at the Houston Food Bank, Brian Green. And listening to you speak, I'm wondering from you, like, what is it that is the most gratifying thing for you? What is it that, as you've been doing this 20 years, what is it that kind of makes you, I've worked in a kind of an industry where you're like, oh man, this is kind of tough work, but this kind of one thing just, this makes it worth it. What is it for you?
Well, again, as you say, I've been doing this long enough that the number of times that I'm talking to somebody who's, they're doing well, like you guys, and they say, yeah, but that's not where I started. And they talk about the times that their mom had to go and get help, but they were able to get by, and they're doing well now. And that's just, that's what really gets you, is, you know, yep, they needed some help, and the community helped, and they're doing fine. And it's like, man, that's what we want.
Yeah, that's awesome, Brian. Man, we appreciate you jumping on with us, and we've still got just under 4 hours. We've been rolling since 6 a.m. We still got just under 4 hours.
Now, your voice is going to give out at some
point.
Not
at all.
I'm good,
no?
Man.
No, we're doing all right, man.
We got a little tea, a little honey.
That's a margarita. I don't think that's tea, my boy.
I'm just saying, we still have the rest of the world. Like, hey, man, what are you doing here?
Margarita's a euphemism.
Yeah, thank you, man. I don't know if you can find those at the food bank, but yeah, I mean, we're...
I'd imagine not.
No.
No, we really greatly appreciate you. And I think people hearing you, I think, will also maybe jumpstart things as well. So thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully this is a partnership that continues for years to come.
All right. Well, thank you, Sports 610 and Reggie and Ron, for doing this for us. This is a great day for us.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's Brian.
Clap. We clapping it up. We clapping it up.
Clap your hands, Luke.
Clap.
There we go, man.
That wasn't enthusiastic enough.
That
was cool.
That wasn't. Brian Green, CEO of the Houston Food Bank. And it's still time. I'm seeing people starting to roll in right now. We've got more people sending in donations, and you can do that by texting Radiothon 26 to 71777 as we continue rolling through.
And the thing that I will say, just to lower any barrier for entry, because for some reason the text this to that number doesn't always land with folks, you can text directly in the way that you always do to Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link to the auction site. Just any barrier of entry we want to cut down, because as you heard from Brian, it is so important, the work that they do, and we want to help fund that, and we want to help support that in any way possible with the minimal roadblocks to that as possible.
Yep. That is right. So however you want, whatever help you need, we got you. We'll do that. There you go, Luke Morrow in the building. I see you can jump in here, Luke. There you go.
Hey guys, how you holding up?
Doing all right, buddy. Good, thanks, baby, for joining us. Thanks, we're for jumping
good
in.
We're good. Yeah, we're ready to go.
Well, when I saw the food over here, I said, "Man, I got to get in there."
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and come on in there, man. We're good. Luke Morrow, you hear him often. I know Luke was in on the drive last week doing his thing, and I'm sure he's been in with you and for you, and so
I don't think it's been a little while since I've worked with Luke personally,
yeah,
but I always enjoy having Luke in. Luke is usually sitting in for me, and I've got to be honest, I'd be worried that the Wally Pipp situation is coming. You know what I mean?
Please.
Like, it's just going to be one of these where I come back and they're like, actually, don't worry about it. Luke got you.
No, please. You're too kind.
I just feel like Luke is primed and ready to go out and start calling those Sugarland games. I'm telling you, man. I feel like Luke is ready to start calling those Sugarland Space Cowboy games right now. He can go in there and step in right there for whoever is doing that.
I wish. Yeah. Put in a call for me. We'll see what happens.
Hey, let me ask you guys this, because I've been thinking about this. We hadn't really talked a lot about the Astros as they start a pretty big series tonight against not only the best team in the American League, but the hottest team in the American League. While the Yankees got themselves on a 7-game slide, the Rays have won 8 in a row. I don't think Junior hit another home run yesterday, but he had 7 straight games with home runs. They're rolling. They're the best team in the American League. So this is a big series. And the Astros are starting to get themselves back. I've said it. I'm not going to take them serious until they get to 500. Well, they lost the series to the Twins, but they had won 5 straight there, and they're starting to get healthy. I'm just curious. Is Dana Brown a poor GM, or is it more the circumstances that he's dealing with?
This is a great question.
That has put him in this place. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. Do you think Dana is a bad or poor GM, or is it really the circumstances? Because you could walk the circumstances of the amount of important players that he has had missing the last 2-3 years is crazy. Like Yordan, Hunter Brown, Pena, like anybody of importance, Hader, they have been gone. And I'll take it. And
and when he says it, I want it to be abundantly clear. It is his second margarita.
I'll take it. Guys, what are we doing?
Telling the truth to the people.
Luke, did you need it?
No, that's all yours.
Okay.
I'm just stopping by. You're here for all day.
I was gonna take it if y'all wasn't gonna take it.
Well, here, take it. Take it, Vic. Take it. You probably should take it. But where's your feeling on Dana Brown?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not a Dana Brown guy.
I'm not either.
I think that, to your point, some excuses can be made. But I also think when you look at like the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend, you can also look at teams that also operate with their hand behind their backs. And because of the talented front office, they're able to put together, you know, the best team in the American League. So I think for Dana Brown, it's not the easiest job. It's not as easy of a job as it should be, I think, because the edict from Jim Crane, it seems, and then also these injuries. But I also don't think he's done a very good job. Like, he brought in 6 pitchers this offseason, where half of them aren't on the roster now. And in total, they've combined for almost a 6 earned run average. So I don't think he's good enough. He might not be a bad GM, but I don't think he's good enough to win on the margins, like what has been required of him here in recent years.
Yeah, you're talking about, obviously, like the 6 arms that he brought in, and some of this is he had to play in a pool where...
Can we say those arms out loud?
All right, so Tatis Imai is one whose last outing was problematic, even though... Like,
well, not just his last.
Well, yeah, one out of every 3. And
well,
that's
it was his last
well.
Outing was awful. The 2 before, he had double-digit strikeouts
pretty
in both
good.
Games. And then he's like hasn't gotten through 2 in 3 of his last 5 starts. But Imai,
he's like my friend with schizophrenia, you know, sometimes it's just going to pop off. And it's like,
I'm sorry. Why did I laugh at that immediately?
Hey, he put it in there real casually, my friend.
He did. I was not ready for that.
He didn't say someone. He's like, no, this is the person that I have a relationship with.
I'm sorry, man. The people at RPC are going to be really mad at me.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that. I didn't mean for that.
So, all right, Emine, Mike Burrows.
Oh, God.
Which was
we call Homer Mike.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But, you know, young, talented dude coming out of Pittsburgh.
I just want to make sure everyone knows that his last start was the first time in 8 consecutive starts he had not given up a home run. But anyway, go ahead.
So there's those two. There's Kaiway Tung, who is probably the best of them. A couple of them have already – well, Jesus. One of them has already made their way
Weiss,
out. Weiss is out of here already. Nate Pearson is one of those.
Oh, my God. Is he correct? Rough.
And I'm forgetting the sixth one. I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I'm not coming up with the sixth one in this moment. But, I mean, you get the sense of what we're talking about here. But also, look at all those players, and outside of Emi, they're all
kind
of...
Did he bring in Lambert?
Lambert's...
Yeah, he did, but... And I know, I've said this before. I know the GM isn't making every single decision, but Dana Brown has said in an interview that one of his scouts brought him Lambert, and he signed off on it.
Got you, okay.
So, I'm not going to give him full credit on that either.
Wow, hey, Ness Luke!
Yeah, he's admitted to somebody else, you know? It's like if I took credit for Figgy's mixtape or something. It's somebody else's work.
Shame.
And I'm just signing off on it.
You know that was a scout that watched Ime, and you know that he wasn't going over there watching Ime.
Hasn't been confirmed.
You're fully giving him Ime.
Incredible hating.
If Dana Brown comes out and says, hey,
incredible
Ime was only because of Jim Crane, then I put it on Crane. But right now, I don't know.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Incredible
hating. And he said it with conviction and anger. Anger too.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be honest here.
Yeah.
He said there was a scout that came in. It's he
said it like
off.
He was conceding something.
Yeah.
He said it like I will concede this, and it was just a setup for him to hate. And I appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
No, but generally, back to the point. Like I think that even those arms that he had to go get, he's playing in a pool where he had to go bargain shopping in a way that I don't know what the expectation probably should have been. Now I don't think that this is the outcome that you would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I'll say is. Similar to your point, right? I think he's been asked to do things. The question I ask is, not even what is your signature move, one, but two, what is it that you do here, to quote Office Space? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like with any general manager, but with a lot of different jobs in general, I should be able to say, this is the thing that you bring. This is the dynamic.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That you bring to what we have here. And in theory, Dana Brown has a scouting background. I should see that there is development of young players that are coming up. And it doesn't quite feel like that. And so I wonder, like, what is the strength that Dana Brown brings to the general manager position for the Astros? And I don't have a good answer for that, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the farm system is still as bad as
that
it was when he got here.
That was supposed to be his strength, wasn't
right.
it?
Yeah. Exactly. So,
and I don't think the farm system is entirely him. I think that that's an investment issue from the top of the organization. But even within that, I don't know that I love the way that some of the prospects have looked through that farm system.
Yeah, and the guys that have come up to in recent years also obviously haven't worked out great. I'm not a Dana Brown fan. I don't think he's a great GM, but I also think the issues start at the top. Like the Mauricio Dubon trade was not good, and that was just a cost-cutting move. I think even like the Jesus Sanchez trade obviously backfired to this point with Joey Loperfido, but I think there's certain things that are moves being made.
Well, that was also a money thing. They didn't
exactly.
want to pay Sanchez.
Right, which is what I'm saying. I think there's moves being made to try to, you know, slash payroll, which always makes it tough on a GM. It's easy to be Brian Cashman. It's a lot tougher to be some of these other guys. But with that said, going back to my point earlier, like the Rays have found a way to make it work. The Milwaukee Brewers have done a
great
job.
Guardians do it.
Guardians. There's good enough GMs out there that even with restrictions can put together a good team. And you look at not only the pitchers, Christian Walker had a great first month this season. Other than that, he's been a bit of a waste for a year and a half for most of the time. There's just not a lot of great moves to write home about. Even the Kyle Tucker trade looked great, and it might still end up being great. But even that one right now, like you got a pitcher on a shelf and Cam Smith – batting .230 for his career, so
it might be a Gold Glover though.
He might be,
but
there's
know,
just not
man.
A lot of wins for Dana Brown.
Let's think about that on the other side as we continue on the Reggie and Ron Radiothon, please continue to help us. I see people jumping in. This is a big final final leg here.
Wait, hold on. I forgot we're supposed to let people know. Starting at 2.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We got a sponsor. We got a matching sponsor here.
That is right.
Starting at 2. So I apologize for not making that known earlier, but appreciation to A1 Check Cash for matching.
That's right. That's right.
In this time period. I believe it's matching up to a grand, I believe.
That's so, right. But, so if you donate at Radiothon 26271777, it will be matched. It will be matched by A1 check cashing in the next 4 hours. So
appreciate to Joseph, who I think gets in under that. Steven, like y'all, your money goes twice as far here.
That's
so
right.
Help us out here for sure by texting Radiothon 26 to 71777.
We need a big final 4 hour kick. Again, go ahead and text Radiothon 26 to 71777, and remember. The auction items, they are open until 5:30. So stay tuned and make sure you understand how much time you got with that. But what is the best move he's made? That's a hard one. What is the best move he's made? We'll continue right here live. I don't know how real this is, but I just came across this on the old Twitters. Harrison Butker was the only Chief player not invited to the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce wedding.
I love it.
That's not true. That's right?
I don't think so.
All right, so let's pretend that it's true. All right, just for the sake of having fun. Do you think that the reason why he would not be invited was that one thing that he said that one time up on a stage, or is it the fact that Travis Kelce is a football player that also does not believe the kickers are real football players? Like, do you think it's like, I refuse to have a non-football player in my way?
I don't believe it because Travis has defended him.
Mm.
Like, it not defended what he has said, like, but he is just like, hey, man, a lot of people have different opinions in the locker room.
Yeah, that's just
he's a
your
great,
coworker.
He's a
you
great.
Gotta, he don't got to come to your
he's
wedding.
He's been a good teammate and all that, but I don't think he's somebody. He's won them championships, so I don't think he is someone that thinks kickers aren't. I've never gotten that from him. But his ass wasn't going to be at that wedding, though.
Taylor is really good at like distancing from any sort of drama or not can't be associated with anything bad. So maybe she made that call.
Because he might stand up. I feel like.
Oh, you mean like in the middle of the wedding?
He's going to be clean as hell, though, for starters. Go look at Harrison Butker.
Butker does
it together. Okay. He can put together a good suit. Hair, nice. But he might stand up and say something.
Emi's getting invited to anybody and everybody's wedding on the Texans though, right? Like they rock with Kaimi, don't they? All right, well,
I don't think Aziz believes Kaimi's a real player.
Whoa!
if I had to step out and say, if there's a player on the Texans that you feel like doesn't really believe that the kickers and punters are real, I would lean towards Aziz. Respectfully, it'd be respectful.
Is it just off of the like? He plays such a physical brand that the dude that brings the golf clubs to training camp probably ain't the man.
This might be a little different though, man, because Emi is an offensive weapon on this team, so he might be counting on Emi to do something. Yeah. If the offense ain't gonna do nothing,
yeah, just kick the field goals, dog.
If you have 1,000 people going to the wedding tonight, I would hope everyone, like, if you're being left off of that list. That's tough.
I can tell you someone who's not about to be there.
That's a tough one.
And they're not bringing Rashi out here.
Yeah, he is. They probably won't rush Rashi out there so they know where he is. Get his ass close. That damn ticking time bomb. Any moment, 30 days. Any moment. Anyhow.
You mean in jail? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to make it explicit.
He's a bad decision maker. He just is. That man came out there and finished his 30 days and saw two media people and moonwalked backwards and ran out of the building with a smile on his face. Good decision maker.
Oh, goodness gracious. Sorry.
Yeah, I got him for 11 games.
Did you just see what has been reported when it comes to the Astros? Not to make things worse, but apparently the Astros have optioned Miguel Loyola and put Ben Asusa on the 60-day IL to clear roster spots for Christian Javier, who's active out of the bullpen.
Well, good.
I mean,
those guys weren't going to do anything.
Yola looked good, man. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. He looked really good in the two innings that they brought him out.
Let's just be honest, man. You're wearing number 66. Let's and you're not an Puig. Offensive lineman.
Yasiel Puig, right? Didn't he wear 66?
He sure did.
Where is he?
Not in the majors.
Actually,
not in
my daughter, minors. Is he in the minors? My daughter chose 66 for some reason.
Really?
Yes. 66. I don't know why.
You ain't got to worry about her making it.
Wow.
You're right. She did. She chose 66 for some reason. I don't know why.
All right. Again, guys, Luke is in. Our guy Figgy is in. We appreciate you. And I'm seeing people. We're moving further up. More donations. We appreciate you guys. You can help us help the Houston Food Bank. If you missed it earlier, we had Brian Green on, the CEO, really giving us an understanding of the work they do every day and why they do what they do every day and who they're able to help. And you can help those folks as well. Please, please help us. As we are going till 6 o'clock, you can donate to text Radiothon 26 to 71777, and you can help us there. Also, you can go to sportsradio610.com and click on the auction page, and you can go and see many there. There's the Andre Ware autographed University of Houston helmet. He'll be joining us coming up in the 3 o'clock hour.
No bids. No one's got a bid on it. You can put your name on it right now.
Hey, guys, let's.
How much is it?
Let's
open a bid.
Yeah.
Let's just let. Hey, guys, let's make sure we don't have Andre on here without a bid on his helmet.
Come on now.
All right, let's do that.
Go ahead and get you an Andre Ware helmet. Off.
And make sure you go take a look at that drive. That drive dinner right there, Oak and Iron. I see you, baby. All right, there's still some action there. Yes, that one.
Just that one.
I didn't mean just that one. Okay. All of them. In the Loop, you know, they got, hey, Federal Grill, that's a good spot. Tied right now. Somebody's tied right now with Payne and Pendergast. Nobody's counting. But, I mean, let's just take a look at that.
They got to get in on that Area 45 one,
Area
man.
Area 45 as well.
This is a sleeper right here because this is also at Oak and Iron.
This is at Oak and Iron.
That's a really good spot, too, man.
And Patrick Creighton will be with us here a little bit later on. If I know Patrick Creighton, he might have Mike Tyson there.
He could.
Yeah. Last time I know he had boxers there.
He could,
It ain't just going to be him and Sean Pajani and our guy Mid-C. It's going to be more.
Colin. Why you got my guy Colin like that?
Well, he's not ready to be Big C yet. And he's not Little C. But he's Mid-C.
Okay. Would medium C be right? Mid feel weird to me.
Mid C. Yeah, same thing.
Okay.
Medium? Right. Medium.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Mid C. Rolls off the tongue.
Dare I say, I feel like there's still a level of underappreciation of a couple of the auction items that we have here. Now, of course, there's some of them that just don't have bids on them yet, right? There's some things like a Yordan Alvarez signed bat that's out here. Yeah. I know some of y'all got Cowboys fans in your family that should be looking at a Bob Lilly autograph helmet. Like, that's one of those things that absolutely someone should be looking at. But on top of that, I'm still looking at Figgy and B. Scott and the dinner that they have at Cormier's, plus the VIP football game day experience. I know that currently the bid's pretty high. Like, they're tracking alongside Payne and Pendergast and the drive. However, they've got that extra added benefit that, let me tell you, it is worth it, right? It is a VIP football game day experience. And when you think of football in Houston, yes, that. On a Thursday, you want to be there. I'm telling you.
They're going to be living that sweet life?
Probably. Quite
I think
possibly.
It's a nice little sweet life, too.
I think so. So, man, you want to get in on that particular bid. I know that there's bids going there. Let me tell you. There's still a lot of room for you to get in there and be very, very happy with what you come back with.
There we go. Just crossed the 6,000 meter. Shout out
Let's
to Jonathan.
Go!
Shout out to Steven. Shout out to Clinton as well. Text line coming through. There should be an auction item for dinner for hating ass Luke.
I'll work that in next year. I'll work that in.
We're trying to raise money.
Ron, the best move Dana Brown has made was drafting Michael Harris. Oh, you mean for the Astros. Sorry. Bryce Matthews is what Ocho said. Best move for Brown. Firing the medical staff.
Which I don't think he did exclusively.
I don't either. No, I'm serious. What is the, like, like Kikuchi.
That was probably the best one.
Yeah, that was the one I thought of.
Yeah, it helped.
And I thought he was crazy at first.
Yeah, it helped us out in Cleveland. Yeah, but Yusei Kikuchi, what a great drop that was. And
love Kikuchi.
Right? Like, I mean.
Yeah, which was a rental anyways, obviously. So
that you don't, you no longer have. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say I'm stumped, but I'm trying to.
It really might be. Well, like again, the Kyle Tucker trade, we still need to give it more time. That could turn out to be a really good deal, depending on what Cam Smith turns into.
And depending on what you do with Isak Paredes. Like, it feels like that's a possible trade-on circumstance where now what are we talking about there? Or, I mean, right now he ends up being incredibly useful. I know we were talking about the infield glut, but Carlos Correa being lost for the season, that's actually been quite useful for your continued push towards playoffs right now.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, good. Like, because
otherwise, it's like Lambert, and until like 2 weeks ago, Tang, or however you're, whatever Dung, the proper,
I think.
Tung.
Yeah, it is. That's
those guys.
That is, I mean, he's been here 3 years, and that is hard to, like, I don't think Nick Caserio's been perfect, mm-hmm. but I think we can rattle off Nico Collins. He drafted Nico Collins. He, even the top guys, I don't know how much they were just all on him with, like, Will Anderson and Stroud. But, like, I mean, they're Tank Dell. That's a hell of a draft pick, even though his injuries have been an issue. You can point, like, I'm having a hard time with DB.
And, I mean, it kind of, you look up and you see that it kind of makes
Kikuchi,
sense. Kikuchi,
I think, is the best thing that he has done.
Yeah. Now, this is the thing. Jesus. How much do you get mad at Dana Brown himself versus Jim Crane to put him in a circumstance where, with all of that, he is on a lame duck deal, yet
still
making decisions.
But I mean, come on. To the point Luke was making, he ain't got the damn Pirates resources. Like,
I'm not even talking about resources. The idea that he's like, if you're not confident enough in him to give him extension, having him run through this year feels like malpractice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the weird thing I don't get in baseball is like they rather these guys run the draft and the deadline because of all the work they put in. Instead of firing them and putting somebody else in charge. So, like, even if you know you're going to move on from somebody at the end of the year, they still don't want to move on from them too soon, which is always a weird thing in baseball. And then also, too, the whole thing is, you know, with the lockout essentially coming, we can almost lock that in, pun intended, I suppose. But it allows you more time to now think about and negotiate things for what you want to do with the GM. And the manager, and then you don't have to pay anybody either until a new CBA is signed. So I wonder if that was part of the thought process for Jim Crane, too, was have these guys on expiring contracts because we're most likely going to enter a lockout in December, and then that will buy me more time to A, figure things out, and B, not have to pay anybody.
But then where's your priorities at? Right? Like, if that's the case, operate like that's the way that you're operating, and that's not been the thing that we've been sold by any means.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know? Coming up as we continue here, In the 2 o'clock hour, please continue to send donations. Text Radiothon 26 to 71777. And I feel like this is a good crew to have this conversation. Figgy, I kind of did this take with you in the hallways the other day. But I'm
Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
A CJ Stroud conversation I want to have with you four. Three. I'm four. With you three. Coming up next right here live as we continue on the Reggie and Ron Radio.
Are you just staring Bryce down now?
I like to make...
Or Byron, goodness gracious.
I like to make Byron feel uncomfortable.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I was looking at the board so I can, like, right. Time the music.
You don't know, so you don't notice me. Is that what you're saying?
100%.
No, I do notice.
I got you. All right.
No, you don't have to back down. Tell him. You do not notice him.
We'll see about that reference.
All right.
Hey.
I already got my shirt for the volunteer. And it's actually crazy. You know, next Friday, the church, we're actually going to the Houston Food Bank to volunteer.
Really?
Look at that.
There it is. Yeah. There it is, going to the food bank. My man hit me up the other day. He said, just want to let you know, man, I slid you down as a reference. I said, bet. I'm going to mess that reference
up.
Yeah,
real dangerous proposition with Ron.
Speaking of feeling uncomfortable, what's up with y'all and Ben, man?
Ben's my dude,
It kind of got a little uncomfortable when Ben said, hey, ain't nobody invite me to no dinner.
Seth
was like, Ben, if you want to go to the dinner, you can go.
Like he said,
I'm like, uh-oh.
Let me text you on the side. He said, I said, Ben, I just be honest with you. Because I feel like Ben, I've always felt like Ben just didn't want to
Be a part of it.
Yeah, just didn't want to do it. And I said, and we had the Christmas party, and Ben was a lot of fun. I got
had his Christmas sweater and everything. Yeah, stayed till the party was over.
He really did. He
shut the party down.
I was chilling with Ben for a minute. He had a smile. I was like, Ben is a good time. I was like, I got Ben ain't going to Carrabba's.
You know, this might be Sean. Sean might be boxing him out.
My man,
come find out.
My man said, let me just be honest with you real quick here at 6:15 in the morning.
He said, I would have went to the dinner. Ain't nobody invite me.
Ain't nobody invite me. Oh, well, damn.
I'm like, oh, man.
Shout out to those. Andre Ware coming on with us in the 3 o'clock hour. And we got a bid out there on Andre Ware's autograph helmet at the University of Houston. Heisman Trophy winner. Why not? Do your thing right there.
You know what I'm hoping is happening? I'm hoping that people are just kind of stalking out the circumstance. And then when we get near to the end, because remember, the bidding stops at 5:30. I'm hoping that in last hour and a half, people will start moving in for the kill. You know what I mean?
I was kind of thinking that just for myself. I'm like, you know what? Let me sit around. Let me see if this Yordan Alvarez signed ball. Like, if it's still around 520?
525.
I'm like, I'll put a bid on it.
Hey, you're still well under that.
Yeah, shout out to Mary Cheesehead, who's just donated. We appreciate you, Mary Cheesehead.
What's up, Mary?
You say that like you don't believe that's her name.
Do you?
No.
Oh, that's her actual name?
She came up here before.
It says Mary Cheesehead. That's what it says.
Oh, I thought
yeah.
I thought
oh, Mary, she's a Packers fan.
Yeah. I bet she has to be.
You think that's legal? That's the legal name?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm sure she'd change it to that if she wanted to.
So, yeah, guys, remember you can keep, just like Mary Cheesehead did, you can continue to donate.
You don't even sound like you're saying it seriously as you're saying it seriously.
Radiothon 26. To 71777. I was in between breaks getting water the other day, and I made Figgy just have to listen to this take, and I want to bring it to the air. I sometimes put myself in. I wonder what CJ Stroud is thinking. I wonder how CJ's feeling, or how would I feel if I were CJ. And I just came to the thought of, like, if I'm CJ, I'm sitting there thinking, why I feel like I'm the only one who got to prove something? Right? Why I feel like, because Nick Caserio, he can continue to just absolutely obliterate the offensive line. But, I mean, he's got some solid job security, it feels like. And just, I mean, they're changing the offensive line, which is pretty important, every year. D'Amico keeps running his head into the same spot for the last 3 years. And nobody in their right mind is thinking, let's roll from him. Nico Collins, when you going to consistently play in games that matter? When you going to stop getting hurt every year? How many times has he got new money? Aziz went in and got himself torched. By old, not this Travis Kelce that's walking down the aisle, but old Travis Kelce got his money. I just wonder at some point of, like, when I look at CJ, like, how come he feels like he's the only one that's got something to prove? That has to prove something. That has to prove something to be able to have his standing with the team or to get his money or to get, like, I just wonder. I know if I was him, I'd be just an annoyed mood all the time. Just like, oh, okay. Everybody else get just come in here and do stuff, but I got to be the one to prove something because I had a couple of bad games. It seems like he just has these different set of rules
like in a different way than you just say about quarterbacks. Just different set of rules than anybody else.
Yeah, I think part of that's just naturally because he is a quarterback. I think there's always more pressure on quarterbacks, and they're the ones that get the big contracts for a reason. But I think there's a few things at play. I mean, I think, you know, I've brought it up before, but it's the whole, you know, flowers on the first date. Like, when you set the bar so high, then you have to keep matching that as opposed to regressing compared to somebody who is progressing or continuing to grow in a certain direction. And then I think also, like, with Nico Collins specifically, you know, like, people put him in a top – I think more people might put him in a top 10 list of receivers compared to Stroud, top 10 in quarterbacks. So I think also if you compare, like, where they stack up, DeMeco Ryans would probably be another one that would rank higher on a list of his position amongst more football fans than even Stroud would at this point. So I think when you try to compare what he does at the quarterback position compared to what this guy does at wide receiver, this guy at head coach, I think most average football fans would claim that those other folks are doing like a better job compared to their peers than how many people look at Stroud right now, specifically after those playoffs.
And to take that a little bit of a step further, I think that this is a kind of a problem with the way that we view football, the larger royal we or whatever. We generally look at quarterbacks and think you're supposed to clean up for everybody else. I don't think it's fair. I've never thought it's fair. It's the reason why I push back against the notion that, you know, wins are placed upon the quarterback because there's so many other people that are involved in this. But when you have that mentality, you go, all right, well, why are you not cleaning up for other people? Because some of the seasons that you look at and you go, man, CJ Stroud wasn't that good in some of these years. It's like, well, yeah, he was failed by some of his teammates or like his general manager in the case of the offensive line. I think also, and this is where covering the Cowboys for the point of time that I did, I got at least one gift that I really enjoy, which is Jerry Jones has a saying that he likes throwing out there, which is deadlines make deals. Right? The nature of the timing of things really shifts how things go. And I think that him being in a place where you have to make a decision like paying him $50-60 million on annual average compared to all those other people that you were talking about, not many of them had the similar type of timing where you had to make that decision to where it becomes front and center for them. I think that those things pair together that make it so that it's kind of that way that you're talking about.
But the money part is one part of it. Like, that's one part that he has to prove himself. But it's like he has to, and I get the quarterback thing, but the rules have been different with him. It even to other quarterbacks, to me. Like, you've watched football for a long time. Figgy, you've watched football. Reggie, you've watched football. Bryce, you've been playing for the Panthers for a long time. Like, you look at this, he's not the first person to have a bad playoff game. He's not the first person to have been a really good quarterback and then have a bad playoff game.
Justin Herbert.
Nobody says Justin shouldn't get paid. Mm-hmm. Nobody questions if Justin can still be a good quarterback. That is the question with CJ Stroud.
Well, I think that's the question amongst the people who are the most unfair in this. I think that sometimes
there's a lot of unfair people.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think that's very vocal. I think the most reasonable of the criticisms is he good enough to pay that level of money and it be worthwhile? The people that are just saying that he's bad, I think that they're flat out wrong. I think that they're just operating in a place that is not reasonable. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a reasonable question of, is CJ Stroud going to consistently play at the level that warrants that money? Because we've seen guys that are pretty damn good in this league get paid that money and you go, oh, this ends up not working. So I think that that's a fair question, even if I think I probably lean towards where it seems like you are, where it's like, no, I think that answer actually is probably in the affirmative.
But it just doesn't appear to me, Reggie, that is the majority of the conversation of, is he good enough to be paid that? There's some people who are saying that. That does not seem to be the majority of the question. Like, the majority of, like, that's why I said to Henry Toa earlier, y'all about tired of having to answer the question if he's okay? That is, I've been talking about if he could just be average. Can he be average? He has been a, like, if you just look at the numbers and big games, he's been a lot, he has a better resume than Justin Herbert. He is not talked about anywhere close to the level of Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert has had bad games. Justin Herbert played in a game against him and threw four interceptions.
Nobody did the next year thought, man, they got the number one defense over there. If he can just be average, I wonder if he can still play. It just it seems like the rules have gone out the window with him, and he's got to prove in a rate that we don't see of the other players.
Herbert is oddly like Teflon, and I don't get it, but people still call him like a top five quarterback or skill set. But if, yeah, you look at the numbers, he's been lousy in the playoffs and in big games. And if you look at like when they're trailing in fourth quarters, he's lousy at like fourth quarter comebacks or game-winning drives or trying to lead the team back. He is incredibly unclutch, but because of like what you see on paper or what he can be, because of his potential and the skill set, everyone always dons him as like a top 10, or even some people think, oh, that's a top five quarterback. Wait till you get Mike McDaniel in there now. There is some weird love for Herbert that certainly does not apply to Stroud. I don't know what it is, but yeah, Herbert is sort of Teflon for whatever reason.
This is a good setup. A guy who has covered and watched every game that C.J. Stroud has played as a Houston Texan. Andre Ware, Heisman Trophy winner. There's a bid for an autograph helmet on our auction page that you can bid on. We will talk to him coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Guys, we got 3 hours. 3 hours left. You can still help people. Let's get a good kick here at the end. Text in to Radion, Radiothon, Radiothon, 26271777 for us to be able to donate. Please, please help us out these last 3 hours as we continue on the Reggie and Ron Radiothon.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.